Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. You're fucking up the audio.
Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot. You moron. You stupid bitch.
Sick. Okay, so today, me and, how do we start
this? I'm Aaron Brancher, and I'm Katie Cassidy.
You're both?
Yep.
Did we, Jeff Goldblum through a fucking, it's an old reference, never mind. Hi, I'm Aaron Brancher, and you're?
Katie Cassidy.
Okay, hi. And today, me and Alex Kelly will be talking about William Frederickin, Friedkin, Friedkin, whatever the fuck you want to call him. We're going to pronounce it a bunch of different ways during the whole thing. And I'm going to start it tired, so. But it picks up, and at the end we talk about Sorcerer, which is like my new favorite movie, so it's going to get a little,
buckle in.
It'll get a little bit bigger. Okay, cool. And that's that one. All right, I'm just going to be super tired this episode. Alexander Kelly.
That is my name.
We are here to talk about William Friedkin's films, Sorcerer, The Exorcist, and
French Connection.
Yeah, French Connection. So... I guess let's just start. Yeah.
What? All right. So, do you want like overall impression of each one?
Yeah. Go ahead.
So, the first one I watched was The Exorcist. I've watched all three with you. So, The Exorcist was cool. I completely understand why it's such a hit and it's considered a cult classic.
Not a classic.
All right. Yeah. Classic. But. Yeah, no, it's just so interesting, like, movies that came out in the 70s, and just imagining The Exorcist nowadays, it would be considered a tame movie.
Yeah.
Compared to, like, stuff we've seen, but, like, back in the 70s, when people were still, like, devoutly Christian, and, like, all the, you know, a lot of civil movements were still going on and shit, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but, like, yeah. So, it was just really interesting to me to see what turned out to be, like, completely unacceptable back then, where I'm sure people were fucking freaking out over this movie. I mean, just, you know, I thought it was hilarious when, like, her head is spinning, and she's like, your mother sucks cocks in hell and everything, you know, because everyone knows that scene from Scary Movie.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, Scary Movie
2.
Scary Movie 2, is it?
Yeah, the second one.
I mean, and it is funny nowadays, but imagine being, like, a woman or a man in the 70s who was, like, born in the 50s, you know? And they were raised like that, and then seeing this movie, that must have been, like...
No, yeah, like, I remember my parents talking about it and stuff, like, the first time they saw it. Remembering when it came out, and, like, that's all you were hearing about.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just this evil movie and all this
stuff.
Yeah,
it's, like, devil incarnate, you know? And, no, just... I think that's what made the movie so... cool for me is just imagining all, like, I was watching it with a bunch of people from the 70s and just knowing that that would have been considered, like, completely unacceptable and, like, the most horrid thing. And nowadays we just laugh at it and we're like, oh, look, her head is spinning, she's throwing up.
Green, I mean, I don't laugh at it, but I don't think you should laugh at it. I think the movie still holds up really well, and I still think there's still stuff in there that's, you know, spooky and still holds up today. I mean, Exorcist is one of my favorite movies, so, like, mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little biased. But, like, I don't know, I think that movie holds up really well. And how it was shot, you know, there's not a ton of effects that stand out as cheesy.
No, I wouldn't say very much.
There's, like, a few shots that kind of are a little cheesy here and there. Like, when she grabs that dude's nuts and he falls on the floor and the camera goes with him, like the Alfred Hitchcock shit.
Yeah.
Hitchcock shit. So, like, yeah, there's some aspects or a few moments. I think the only thing that gives it away, its time, is the same thing that gives all of his movies, like, time away, is the fucking pacing of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the way he, you know, chooses to have his movies edited. Yeah, that shows they're a little older. I personally like it in some of his movies more than others. But no, I think Exorcist holds up really well.
It's funny because I was just thinking about this recently because I've been watching a lot of 70s movies, and then remakes that were made in the...
I'm not using a coaster.
Yeah. 70s movies that have been remade. Like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, we watched the remake of that. And then, you know, The Exorcist. We watched, like, what was it, like, Exorcist 6 or something?
Three.
Yeah, we watched that.
Yeah, I like that one a lot.
And that one was awesome to me. When did that come out? Like,
I think late 80s.
Late 80s. You know, it's just, like, really interesting because you can tell the concept of these movies is really good. It's just, I don't want to say it was poorly executed. Just, it wasn't, that was how films were shot back in the day. And it's just interesting because you can tell the movies and the plot and everything can...
Which movies are we talking about? All the Friedkin's movies?
Oh, not particularly his movies.
Oh, what specifically are you talking about right now?
I would say Texas Chainsaw Massacre and then Halloween as well.
I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre looks better than Halloween, except for the nighttime scenes. Yeah. But, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre during the day looks really good. The Exorcist doesn't have that issue.
Yeah. Well,
The Exorcist always looks good, and it's always, you know, that's the most, that's the best-looking Friedkin movie. Like, you know, camera-wise, not handheld, not shaky. I like his documentary style. I think that's his best shit, and that's why Sorcerer and French Connection kind of stand out to me visually. But Sorcerer, by far, is the best looking of his movies in my mind. But The Exorcist is his most, like, methodical, planned out movie, you know. The camera's precise, you know.
Yeah. Oh, I think maybe I was, like, giving you the wrong impression. I'm not saying that the movies are, like, poorly planned or executed badly. I'm just saying, like, a lot of the remakes I've seen, and I've only really seen two, which is Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which... Those are both exceptionally good, and I liked them far better than the originals.
You liked the Halloween remake better than the original Halloween?
Oh, yeah. By far.
The Rob Zombie Halloween remake.
Wait, Rob Zombie Halloween? No, I'm talking about the 2018 Halloween.
That's a sequel.
Okay, a sequel.
You like that better? I mean, okay, I get... Yeah, it's because it's faster paced, and it's not, you know... He only kills 5 people in the original. I get that, but... You don't have these without those, obviously. And then also,
that's what I'm saying.
The filmmaking style needed to evolve to get up to this stupid shit we do now. So, yeah. Like, I don't know. I love watching these old movies. And as long as you can put yourself in the place, for, you know, to pay attention to something like this, like we were talking about French Connection.
It's extremely,
like,
difficult.
French Connection's kind of a slog at points, you know?
All of his movies are.
Oh, yeah. I don't find The Exorcist boring.
I think The Exorcist, like, there is points where I think it kind of drags.
Yeah. Yeah, all of his movies are very methodical in nature. I don't know. I'm so in on The Exorcist because I love Damien Karras, the main guy who
the preacher.
He rolls on the stairs at the end. His character, I love his whole thing in the movie. And like,
yeah, I was gonna hit on that a little bit. I mean, I really like his character development, and I mean, it's just nice because it's also very interesting for me because I've been to all the places. That this movie was shot, like, because I mean, it's shot in like Baltimore, Georgetown, and I think that's like the only two locations, right? Is like Baltimore and/or Georgetown.
Yeah, it's just kind of all over that area, the DMV area.
Yeah, you know, and to me, that's kind of cool, and it helps me relate more because I know the area, because I've been to like Greektown where they shot his like mom's apartment scene, and that's kind of cool. That area is really cool. I don't know. But ultimately, The Exorcist was really good. Like, I really liked the dialogue.
Yeah.
The dialogue was what made the movie, 100%. It was slow at points, but it kept my interest, which is the most important thing. It just kind of... It's funny, because it sounds like I'm contradicting myself, but, like, it bored me at points, but it never truly lost my attention.
Yeah, it's the same way French Connection. I wasn't bored in French Connection, but I kind of would check out at times where I'm just like, okay, yeah, we're doing, you know, this right now, okay. But, like, I'm still in the story, you know, I'm just, okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's get through this long, you know, monotonous sequence of somebody doing something mundane or...
Yeah.
Or whatever, which, you know, it's always to... He seems to have, like, it's all about immersion in a world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I love that. I love the fact It makes his movie slower, but I love the fact that he's all these cutaways and B-roll all the time. The fact that, you know, like in French Connection, they throw the hat in the back of the car just to show that, you know, to other cops that they're undercover right now. But, like, they didn't explain that. You just, you know, they do stuff. Everybody's just so – everybody exists like they're real people, you know? And so you see that in all of his movies. And I like the fact that, like fuck, I can't think of the actress's name right now, but the mom in The Exorcist, like, she's an actress in the movie, like, you know, like, and they don't explain about the filmmaking stuff, you know, and like, oh, I'm here for this long. It's no, that's what she does. That's, you know, she's a person who does that. And so you see that through all of his characters. Everybody's, they feel real, like real people. And then the world feels real.
Yeah.
Almost too real, to a level where you're just like, God.
Again, yeah, it's like, that was another thing I was going to kind of bring up. And I feel like that was probably, like, I haven't seen a lot of 70s movies, especially 70s horror, but, like, the fact that they, like, tried to bring science into that when they had, like, the mom was trying to, like, they thought she was just behaving erratically because she had, like, she was bipolar or she had, like, some kind of condition, and she was taking her all these specialists and she was, like, flipping out and everything. And then, you know, I feel like that was definitely another thing, because that's what anyone would do at first.
Yeah.
Because no one wants to, like, just immediately – no one immediately goes to supernatural. But after a certain point, you're just like, okay, this is obviously beyond science.
Yeah.
And you have to accept that, and not everyone wants to. But I feel like that was probably another huge thing, because I don't know when therapy really became acceptable. I don't – definitely don't think in the 70s it became acceptable.
What do you mean?
Like, most people would fight therapy, like, especially men, I would say.
Oh, definitely. They
it
still
would be
do.
Like, oh, I don't need therapy. Therapy is for nut jobs. If anyone does therapy, they're crazy. That's for kooks, you know?
Yeah.
And nowadays, it's much more widely. I feel like everyone I know goes to a therapist.
Yeah.
And no one looks differently at you, because people with modern-day science and technology, we understand, like, why people behave.
But I love that the movie gets into that. That's so cool. I mean, are you saying something that's a good part? Or
yeah, no, I'm saying that's okay. What...
Because we jumped off the slow parts. We were talking about the slow conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like, that part of the movie is kind of slow, but it's just... It's so good. The fact that they just take the time to show all these, like, horror... Like, some... Like, when they're poking that shit in her neck and she's squirting...
Oh, yeah, they put, like, the thing on her head.
Yeah, like, some of that, like, stuff is horrifying. And then, like, they put her in the MRI machine and it's so loud and she's just screaming and you just can't hear her.
Yeah.
Like, there's some horrifying stuff in that sequence, but yeah, it's like they had to, you know, I like that the movie takes its time. Yeah, I love the fact that it doesn't just jump straight to paranormal.
Yeah, no.
They and treat it like it's real. Like, all of his movies are, you know, treat everything super real. I love how real everything is. Yeah.
It's funny because, like, you'd think even back in the 70s, most people would just kind of jump straight to the supernatural, because back in the day, like, there wasn't as much technology and there was a lot more belief in, like, religion still.
Yeah.
And people were still willing to be like, yeah, she's obviously got a demon. She doesn't accept the Lord in their life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so that's sort of based off, like, have you, well, you seen The Exorcism of Emily Rose?
That movie? I haven't.
So that movie's about a court proceeding after an exorcist, like an exorcism gone wrong, and the girl died, and so the priest is on trial, and he has to kind of prove that
she was being possessed by a demon.
Yeah, he's trying to kind of prove that, and so we're cutting back and forth between the actual exorcism and then the proceedings, and the movie kind of is like, is this mental illness, or is this, you know, so that movie gets into that too. Pretty well. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think something really happened in real life, you know. And, I mean, you knew, The Exorcist is kind of based off something. We know that. You know, I don't know the actual details of that, but I think, you know, there's got to be a case of something going wrong, you know, sooner or later. So that's got to be in the filmmaker's mind when they're making this. It was like, yeah, let's explore all these options, you know. Let's explore the science side of it. Yeah, I think that's, like, really good. And always the science versus religion.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I don't even say religion, just the supernatural.
Yeah, which the movie Contact, I think, handles that really well, if you've seen that with Matthew McConaughey.
No, I don't think I have.
Ooh, I got something cool to show you.
Yeah.
That's I guess Interstellar would be the closest movie to that.
Oh, Interstellar.
They're not in space, but it's a really... Yeah, you'll like it. McConaughey, what's our girl's name from... yeah, whatever. So, yeah. The science versus religion stuff's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Or supernatural. And then
I think we've just about covered
the Exorcist. Like, yeah. I love the stuff with his mom. I think that's all really cool and scary. And
yeah, and she's kind of like, she has Alzheimer's, right? Or
something,
dementia or something like that. And but she's like really religious, and she can tell, like, oh, you know, she knows something's going on, I guess.
Well, like, she kind of gives that foreboding because he lost his faith, you know, and she can kind of tell and stuff.
Yeah,
maybe.
She just kind of gives like a foreboding vibe for what's to come, like, oh,
you know, like the dreams. Well, she dies, and then yeah, he keeps having the dreams of her, and then like when the little girl's talking to her, his voice, and
yeah,
her voice and everything. So it's cool. There's a lot of really cool stuff in there. I love The Exorcist. I love The Exorcist 3.
I'm just gonna sum up kind of the points we've made. One, it's shot really well. It's probably his best shot movie. It's most planned out.
Well, he shot it differently. I love how the other movies look. I would prefer the other ones, but it doesn't fit this movie about, you know, people in a house.
It's cool that they only shot in like three places. They're places you and me have both been and lived at. The kind of the science versus supernatural portion of it is really cool. The dialogue is what makes a movie.
Yeah, like that scene where they're at the top of the stairs and they're both just exhausted. Or no, he's just exhausted.
They're taking shifts.
Before he finds Father Marion dead. And he's sitting there, and I think it's the mom walks up, and she's like, is she going to die? Or somebody's like, is she going to die? And then he's laying there, and he just goes, no. And then he gets up and goes back in the room. And that's what that moment is so subtle and quiet. But, like, it gets me to, like,
It's the moment I think he realized he was willing to sacrifice himself to save this child.
Yeah.
Which he literally does. Spoilers.
Yeah, I guess we're spoiling the shit out of all of these movies. If you haven't seen The Exorcist, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you shouldn't be watching the William Friedrich analysis if you haven't. But yeah, no, it's just. Well, let's continue on.
We should probably talk about the man himself to a level. Notoriously, like, crazy kind of director who would do stuff on set that, you know, is like borderline illegal or immoral. And he beat the shit out of his actors in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's her – Frances – I can't think of the actress's name for the save life of me. Yeah, like they put her on a cable to pull her, you know, to pull her down to the floor because the daughter slaps her at one point. And, like, he told the guy just to yank her. And she fucking hits the floor, and she got herself fucked up. And it's in the movie. Like, the way she howls and starts reaching for her back, because she hits, like – like you can see it. There's like a little metal thing hitting out of the floor or something. I think it like stabs her or something. Like you can see like this little piece of a pipe. Or at least I think that's what happened. She could have just hurt her back really bad when she landed. But no, like the shot that's in the movie, you know, it's fucking real. And then French Connection. Like there's a ton of illegal shit they did to film that movie. Like the car chase, which is, you know, historically they did, you know, parts of it.
All right, so
in real traffic.
I can say that we have safely
covered
the Exorcist. So move on to The Sorcerer.
Let's save Sorcerer for last. I think we're going to have the most to say about that.
Okay, so next would be French Connection.
Yeah, let's get that's fresh in our minds.
I literally just watched that for the first time.
Yeah, we finished that like 2 hours ago or something. Yeah. So, yeah, let's go through that. First impression, or overall impression.
Overall impression was, honestly, it probably, I would say that was his probably like, overall, the fastest paced movie he has.
Really?
Yeah, Sorcerer isn't very fast paced in the beginning.
No, Sorcerer's not.
And The Exorcist is pretty slow in the beginning as well.
It's weird though, because his stuff feels fast and slow. Because it's methodical, and then some shit happens, and you're just in it, and you're like, whoa!
Yeah.
And then
it's like
back
to
a lull.
There's minor things that happen that kind of keep you involved. It's kind of like.
And by minor things, we mean giant, horrific car accidents or explosions or, you know, or
and you're like,
chase scenes or
that's
whatever.
Super cool, but then it's just like dialogue, like easy shots, just people walking and talking, car scene. And then all of a sudden, boom, horrific car crash, three people are dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's, he's talking again, he's out of the country, their life is shitty. Fucking huge pipe explosion.
We're not in that one yet.
But anyway, that's kind of like his thing. It's like, you know how Freddy, you're like, it's action. It's something every 10 minutes.
Yeah.
That's kind of his, except it's like every 20 minutes or like every 25 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll take that.
No, it's pretty fun though. Like, I would say in terms of like stunts, Sorcerer takes it, but like this
well, one. Well, that's his biggest movie.
Yeah,
this. That's an epic. Like.
Yeah, but French Connection isn't really very stunt driven, except for like a few scenes where it's extremely stunt driven, but overall, it's mainly just kind of the actors just toughing it out.
Yeah.
And
it's great performances on display with great directing. And it's just taking its time and being what it is. And
Yeah,
and the world feels so real. Like,
oh, yeah, I could 100% see this movie like being like based on a true story.
Which I think to a level it is, because the two real, like the Fed.
At the very end, they were saying like this person was never caught. And I don't know if they were doing that kind of like Texas Chainsaw Massacre did it.
I don't know if it's that, because I know that I watched some video essay or documentary or something. And they were talking about the guy who played the Fed and then the guy who was that other cop with the hat. Those two guys are like real, like the real guys that they based the characters off. So I know something happened, but I don't know if it's like that actual story. But I know like those two guys were advising on the movie and they're in the movie and they're based off those other guys. So I think they changed events around or something, but I can't tell you whether or not, you know, it's a true story or not.
So let's finish the overall impression. I think, yeah, it's probably his fastest paced movie, in my opinion. I also think it's kind of like, probably, it's still so fresh in my mind that I'm still kind of coming to grips with it. The thing I really liked about it is just the crime part. I'm really into crime thrillers, and that's the closest thing I could compare this to. But it's not really a crime thriller.
It's just a police procedural.
Yeah, it's just a crime drama.
It's not even a drama. What can you tell me about any of their characters, their backstories? Nothing.
Nothing,
like,
really.
Nobody goes through an arc. Like, no, it's a police procedural. It's a, you know, a week or 2 weeks or however long the movie took place over of, you know, one case, too. It was not even that big of a deal. Honestly, they had to stop a car full of drugs. That was it.
Yeah.
Like, which, you know, that's a big deal. But, like, as a police, New York City police officer, like, yeah, like, especially in the 70s, like, yeah, the movie's just so, like, real and just procedural. I mean, yeah, that's – and I love how that – you can feel that in his filmmaking, too. I think he's just some sort of technical whiz or something because, like, you know, mm-hmm. Everything's just so real and everything. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm having trouble coming to grips with it because I literally just saw it an hour ago. It usually takes me like a good 12 hours to really like process a movie, especially because that one was really long.
Yeah.
I don't know. The main thing I wanted to hit on was the ending. And okay. I mean, let's just do it scene by scene instead of overall. I can't give an overall.
I don't want to talk about the whole movie.
I'm saying not scene, like literally scene by scene. I'm talking like just the scenes that stuck out.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
The first scene that really stuck out to me was when they went into the I don't know how to describe it, but like the black guy bar hangout.
Yeah.
Basically were just going by and just literally picking people's pockets and taking drugs out of their pockets.
Like, it's brutal, yeah. And, like, you see, like, they're racist and they're not good guys.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Fucking, he uses the N-word and
Popeye. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely, you know.
Like, I'm still on his side and I'm with him the whole movie, you know. Like, I want him to get the bad guy, but yeah.
Yeah, you don't feel really a huge connection to him. It's more of you're just dislike and you're just overall, I want the bad guy to get caught. Then you're
it's similar to characters in Sorcerer, where like they're all horrible people in that
absolutely.
Movie.
They're all criminals.
Yeah, they're all like horrible criminals, but like I don't want to see them die.
I kind
of. Well, yeah, we'll talk about that when we get there. But all right, so yeah, the bar scene, we get shown like
that was like the first true.
Well, they did chase that guy down before and beat the absolute dog shit out of him too. So we get introduced. That's the first scene is where they, because he's dressed up as Santa when he beats the hell out of him and Pinky Toes in Poughkeepsie or whatever.
Well, that follows immediately after the bar scene because he runs from the bar. Doesn't
no,
he?
You're mixing two scenes together.
Okay,
they go to a different bar and do the other one. That's when they met the
I thought they were literally waiting outside that same bar.
No, different bar.
Okay.
So he wasn't dressed as Santa Claus, remember, because he took the guy in the bathroom and he was like, where do you want it? He was wearing his hat and he wasn't dressed as Santa.
Yeah, I guess.
So that's two different scenes. But yeah, those scenes, like the priest, the movie starts with just police brutality.
Yeah, it starts with just racist police brutality.
And then, like, then we see it in the bar, which that's, yeah, that's a terrific scene.
And then they just happen to stumble upon, like, the major crime boss talking with another guy. They track him down. That's not really a very interesting
but
thing.
It was so important, those, well, the bar scene, because, like, they keep talking, like, you know, how he's pulling all the drugs out. He makes that cocktail and everything, like, ruins everything, which is cool. But they go back to the police station. They're like, what the hell is this? Like, we can't do anything about this, really.
Yeah,
you know?
It's literally just the guy's hunch. He's like, I saw him with him. And
I'm talking about the bar scene. Like, we just see their day-to-day. You know, they're not dealing with big shit. They're just, you know, stealing drugs off
They're
people.
Just bus petty criminals.
Yeah. Like, and so, like, this, we see why it's such a big deal for Gene Hackman later in the movie. Like, that one shot when the car lifts up and he's just sitting there. Like, yeah, they've torn the whole fucking thing apart.
Yeah, he's
love,
like,
that shot.
Everyone else has given up but him.
Yeah.
He's like, I know if I don't find something, I'm probably going to lose my job.
Yeah, like, I love that shit. So, yeah, so then they go out to the bar that night, and they're, you know, they get
Roy
Scheider.
They see Sal with, what was his name, like, Caliento, or...
I don't know.
They see them together, and I think the French guy was there, too, but they don't really know who he is, so they just kind of forget about him. And then they tail him, they're like, you know, and then they go back to the cop, give us permission to, you know, just wire his place and everything. But this is the first part, is... They knew from the very beginning that they were being, like, followed and tapped.
Yeah.
And this is a huge part of the movie, because if they knew, how do they know? Because there's no way
they... Well, they saw a couple of times, like, I have a tail on me. Like, they had those moments where they looked up and noticed and stuff. So, maybe, but, like...
I feel like
you keep building on your theory, because I like your theory.
I just feel like from the very beginning... Like, they didn't know once they tailed him from the bar. I feel like he had no idea the cops were there.
Okay.
I feel like he had no idea. But I feel like the next day when they asked for permission to tap his place, I feel like that's when they all knew. Because they were very careful about what they said. And they were giving them the runaround the whole time, basically. And they were still trying to get the deals done. But they all knew they were being tailed. And it's like, yeah, they weren't doing a very good job. But at the same time, it's... I feel like it's kind of because they knew all ahead of time.
Oh, yeah. No, I 100% agree with you that they were informed. And the movie, I think, like, where the movie ends, obviously, like, kind of depends on your interpretation of what happened.
Your point of view. Because they don't make a huge deal out of it.
No, they really don't.
Never once is there ever talk of... How are they getting this information? They knew we were coming. There's never any talk about that. There's never, one of us is a snitch, you know. One of us is a traitor. There's never any talk about it.
It's handled so subtly and real. Like everything he does.
Everything you do is given by, like, a single sentence in the dialogue of the characters. When they're going through, like, scenes that you aren't really paying that much attention to. Unless you're, like, really paying attention like I was.
Yeah.
Like, it's just simple little things, like... When he calls the guy in the subway, he's like, where the fuck are you guys, you know? He's like, what? He hasn't even left. He's like, no, I just followed him all the way down to Central Station. And he's like, what? And then
he was out in the phone booth. So that was the moment when you were like, okay,
that's when I was like, the Fed has to be the one.
Wait, why you kept calling the Fed? I thought he was just another detective.
No, that's why they put him on it, was because it was...
Then yeah, no shit, he was in on it, yeah.
Because,
he's the only one who's wearing a different colored coat the whole movie and shit. There's all sorts of stuff like
he's
that.
He's never really... You never see him tail anybody.
Yeah.
You never see him tail anyone. They always know they're being tailed, but that's also because they didn't do a great job. And also, they're criminals, so they're probably looking for tails automatically. But at the same point, it's like... At times, there was like, okay, there's no way they can tell these guys apart. They were falling. They were doing a really good job, but they knew.
And those are my favorite scenes, like the tail scenes, the chase, you know, the chase scenes, obviously. But like my favorite scene in the whole movie was when he's tailing them to the train and they're getting on and off. And
yeah.
Like, just that game, that cat and mouse. That's my favorite scene. But I loved all the tail scenes. Just any moment where they're like, you know, okay, we'll stop
they
and I'll come around.
Other, and they see each other. Yeah. And they know. They both know.
I'll come around the window and be looking at this thing, and then, you know.
Like, when they left the hotel for the first time, they literally bumped, it was Moody?
I don't know their names, bro.
Dream? I can't remember what his name was. But it was something with, like, an M, I think. It was Popeye and something else. But he literally bumped into the guy as they were coming out of the hotel.
Oh, Roy Scheider's character.
Yeah, Roy Scheider. And then he's like, what the fuck? And then they, because this meeting was supposed to be at 12, remember?
Yeah.
And so they show up there, but they're already coming out, which again leads me to believe that there was a.
Dude, there's got to be. Yeah, no.
Because they're like, what the fuck? And then they follow them, and they know they're being tailed, obviously. And they go into that diner, and they just sit in there for, like, the entire day. They're just having, like, duck and really fancy stuff, and they're just sitting out there. And then the Fed's in there, and he's like, you haven't shown me shit. This is all just fucking bullshit. And then they're like, I don't know, they're going to do something. That's when I was like, I feel like it's definitely, like, I was very confident the Fed was leaking
the moment you were like, it's the Fed, is the guy comes out, the Fed was on the phone in the phone booth, and you just walked right by him. The camera kind of panned by him, and you're like, it's the fucking Fed.
So there was, that's the great thing is, the director never put, it was entirely for the person who was paying attention.
Yeah, no, he never beats you over the head with anything in any of these.
He never just gives you the clue.
And this is maybe my issue with French Connection because, all right, Sorcerer is set up very early on in that one conversation when the wife gives the French guy his watch and she's reading about the poet soldier, you know. And she's like, yeah, she's talking about fate, you know, and death, and it'll, you know, you never know when it's going to come or, you know, and she kind of spells out what the movie's about, right?
Yeah.
But she says it's just in subtle, real dialogue. And then, but if you weren't paying attention to that dialogue, like the other people at the screening weren't, you know, you wouldn't pick up that that's kind of what the movie's about.
Yeah.
So, where French Connection didn't really have any sort of thematic thing. It was just, no, here's cops in New York, and here's what's going on.
Yeah, and then that was it.
Like the, up to the ending, I was just like, oh, like, that's just how it happened, you know? Like, I didn't feel any sort of deep meaning at the end of the movie when he shot the Fed guy. There was no point to anything other than just, no, this is what happened, you know, this was an accident.
I feel like the overwhelming emotion in that movie was just kind of almost like revenge, kind of like just determination.
Oh, it's like just Gene Hackman's character. He's so good at that.
Like, almost like definitely like obsession.
Oh, definitely.
You know, like it's like a revenge movie, except for he's never done anything to wrong him. He's just a criminal.
And yeah.
This guy just wants to bust him so bad because he's basically staked his whole career on this bust. And I mean, it's like an unsaid thing. But he wants to be – he finally wants to make, like, one big bust because they always, like, saying, like, oh, you guys always lead the arrests, but it's never anything big. It's never anything that will actually affect the streets.
Yeah, no. So, like – and we see that through their little abuse of power in the bar and everything. It's handled so subtly. Like, that's why this shit is, you know, some of the best movies ever made, even though they may be hard to watch it sometimes. You have to – the art on display, or, you know, like the filmmaking on display is just not matched, you know, except for maybe like David Fincher, like, you know, or Kubrick, some people would think.
Okay. Let's talk about like the two best scenes in the movie, which are near the end.
Okay.
Which is the car and train chase.
Yeah, that was so exciting.
That one's really interesting. And then obviously the very end where there's the arrest and shootout and the ending.
Yeah.
So, I really enjoyed the car chase scene just simply because I liked the way it was shot. Like, I liked the way that whole movie was shot. And that one's very interesting just because, like, I don't know how to describe it. I mean, it was just such a good scene. Like,
with the car chase? Yeah. I mean, just like that one shot where he's looking in between the buildings as he's driving, and you know it's Gene Hackman really driving. They had to time it up with the train. Like, so much of the shit is that, you know? Yeah. The camera pulls out, and then it shows the train over top of the car.
Yeah. Like, it's obviously, like, someone just stuck their camera out the window and pointed up. Or, like, this, the shot where it's literally just the car, and it's an extreme long shot, and there's the bridge, train, and then the car, and they're just driving.
Yeah, it's panning. Like, no, they just went under and did that. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, how many takes that take? They literally probably had to wait for each train to come by, and you know none of this was approved.
Yeah, no.
They all just did this.
That's so cool to me. And then that's another reason that Sorcerer stands out so much. You know, like, that, because that movie takes place in whatever country it was shot in.
There's no law.
Yeah, the amount of shit, like, they blow up an oil rig.
Oh, my God,
and, like,
yeah.
they had to just really do that. Like,
there's no way.
The movie There Will Be Blood, they blow up an oil rig and that, and they had to have, like, I forgot how they did it. They did, like, propane and stuff, and then the actual oil that spills out, it's like this, it's the shit they put in, like, milkshakes to thicken it and stuff. So, like, you know, all nowadays you couldn't get away with any of it. But, like, no, they just blew up a fucking oil rig or had 100%. Footage of it, and which, like, and that explosion's fucking, I don't want to get into Sorcerer yet, but yeah. So, like, this, his, like, I don't know, like, combat camera filmmaking, like, just that run-and-gun guerrilla-style filmmaking.
It's either a stationary pan or, you know, or zoom, like, with just a camera or a person with, like, a shoulder mount. Or it's just, like...
Well, French Connections, yeah, it's all just tripod or, like, handheld.
Yeah, there's just, it's basically just pans and zooms and then just stationary, like, shots, like... That's the great part about it is I was literally talking to you about it. I'm like, we could literally make this movie.
Mm.
I mean, except for a few things.
Well, budget and stuff, but yeah. And in a lot of ways, the movie we just made is shot that way. A lot of it is shot that way because we had to do the same shit. Like, you know, it was time and space, or we're somewhere illegally. Like, you know, we have to, like, you don't have time to sit down a tripod. You have to shoot it that way.
Yeah, there was no, like, crane shots. There was no sets.
Yeah, no.
There was
just,
no
permits. It was all real locations, and it makes the movie feel real.
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's probably what... It's so such a grounded movie. And yeah. So that's kind of fun for me. That's why I like the way it was shot. And that's why I said it was probably, like, why I felt it was fastest-paced movie. Because you just feel like you're following a documentary crew following these two cops.
Yeah, which I don't... remember the logistics of how they made it, but, like, I think, yeah, they probably had some camera team, you know, with...
Yeah,
and just
definitely.
Just fucking doing it.
So, yeah, and then, so there, that about covers the car and train scene, and then at the very end, there's the shootout in that, like, abandoned warehouse where the deal went down.
Wasn't too impressed with that, other than, you know, the ending, but
yeah,
the sniper scene was really good.
Oh, yeah, that was craziness.
Yeah, I love the sniper scene, which leads into the chase. Like, that's the best part of the movie, other than the train, their little tailing scenes. So, the tailing scenes, the sniper up to the chase, and then the car scene was one of my favorites. I loved them taking apart the car. I think that was like the Exorcist's, like, medical sequence, where it's just, like, how, like, really just so intricate, in which I love how into the details he is. Which we're Sorcerer.
A lot of close-ups.
Sorcerer,
a lot of
the truck montage when they have to rebuild the trucks. Like, one, the Tangerine Dream soundtrack is fucking sick. But then also, yeah, like, putting on the new suspension and they're, you know. And it's just footage. It's not edited on beat or anything, like, most of the time. But it's just, wow, like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like, his filmmaking is just real and cool.
So, and then, obviously, there's the very ending, which I'm still coming to terms with. I think I like it, but I am just so curious. And I definitely think his message at the end, like, the thing he was trying to portray is, what do you think happened? Do you, like, because he kind of had, and it's really interesting, because at the very end, even after he shoots the Fed, because that's the number one thing, I was like, wait, when did the Fed get there? What was he doing in there? Was he trying to help the guy get away, or was he there to try and help bust them
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, so he's got to be, yeah.
Or was he maybe even then there to cover his own ass by killing the French guy first? You know, you don't know because he literally sees a shadow movement in the corner of his eye, turns his freeze.
And the Fed's wearing the hat, too. Like a hat like the guy, like a whatever you call the trembly or, you know, whatever.
And literally just pops, empties his entire mag. He empties all six shots into him. And he's dead instantly. So you never know. And then it shows like another movement out of the corner of his eye. He goes around, rounds the corner, and there's one gunshot, and then black. And then it's all the characters, what happened to them. And it said the French guy got away, and they're assuming he's living in France still. And then the two cops afterwards resigned.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting to me because it's like, did they resign because they were like forced to like get out of it? I thought for sure the one guy was going to get arrested for killing the Fed.
Yeah, I thought he would too.
And that, or I was going to think there was going to be a scene where he was going to like look to his partner and he's going to be like, you saw him do it, right? And then the partner was either A, going to be like, yeah.
That would have been really good to give Roy Scheider that like character moment to have to decide. But that's not what happened in real life.
And or he could have looked at him and been like, I got to take you in, man. Like, and then that would have been really interesting to see like what would have happened. Like, is he so obsessed with getting him that if he tried to arrest him, what would he have done? You think he would have killed Roy Scheider to go after this guy? Because he already killed the Fed and he showed no remorse for that.
Yeah, he was still on the case. I gotta catch the guy.
Yeah, he never liked the Fed in the first place either. Yeah. But it's like, that was what I was so... I'm like, I feel like they ended it so abruptly.
Yeah.
And just left so many open to your own imagination things. But he did get away, which means... That's another thing is, you could possibly take it away. Maybe they did shoot the guy, but they hit his body because, you know, if he died, then who shot the Fed?
Yeah.
So it's like you're wondering, like,
it literally answered no questions.
Yeah. And that's why I think that was really interesting because it's totally up to your imagination and it's kind of drives you crazy thinking about it.
All right. We are hit 40 minutes, which is kind of, I wanted this to be a shorter one. It's not going to be because now we have to get into Sorcerer.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go through Sorcerer, which is now one of my favorite movies and to me is my favorite William Friedkin movie. The Exorcist was, still might be, but I don't know, man. Sorcerer pumps me the fuck up.
Sorcerer is great.
Sorcerer is literally the most intense movie I've ever seen.
I will say this. If you can't handle movies immediately getting into a plot, like if you are just there to watch an action movie, you probably won't like Sorcerer.
You won't like any of these movies.
Yeah. You have to be patient to watch these movies. You have to pay attention.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't a movie you can just turn on and listen to in the
Especially
background.
Especially Sorcerer. You really got to pay attention.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, and...
I remember the first time... So, I watched that movie. I literally just saw William Friedkin, Roy Scheider, and I saw, I think, a poster, and the poster literally gave nothing away. It just said Sorcerer, and it had, like, the little Mayan symbol behind it. I had no fucking idea what this movie is about. So I put it on, and I think it starts with the hitman, and then it cuts to Jerusalem and the terrorist attack. So I'm texting people already, bro, William Friedkin, like, you gotta watch this movie. I think it's about terrorism or something. I was like, this is fucking awesome. Because that first, like, 5 minutes, dude, hitman, and then you're in Jerusalem, and it's just the scene, you know, it's all methodical and Friedkin-y, and we feel where they are, it feels hot, you know, you can almost smell it. And they get on the bus, and then that fucking building blows up, and you're like, whoa! And then it's just horrific violence, and the camera's whipping around, and finding people screaming.
It's fucking craziness. Like, I remember watching it, I'm like, oh, they're in Jerusalem, they make that obvious, they literally say it in the subtitles, like, Jerusalem, but, I mean, you can pretty much figure it out.
All of his movies open almost the same way.
Yeah.
It's like foreign country.
Yeah, foreign country, wide shot.
Yeah.
Bunch of like cutaways, you know.
You really feel
just
it.
Just traffic going by, buildings, flags, people walking.
Sun with birds.
And then it'll just be like one character, he's just minding his business. And then just a guy just walks up behind him and just...
there's always that shot where like zooms from like a top of a building and finds somebody on a curb.
Well, that, at least that's how Sorcerer and French Connection started.
Exorcist opens in Iraq. Remember? Because the title Exorcist, and it opens on the sun. You hear Petra. I mean, you hear called a prayer.
Yeah.
So that's all going on, and then it cuts to him at that dig site, and Father Marion finds the little thing, and then he goes...
Oh, that's right, I remember. And then
he finds the statue of, you know, of the demon.
Yeah, I remember, because I was like, Indiana Jones.
You know, yeah, it starts like that. So, like, that movie opens fucking awesome.
Yeah, I forgot about the very beginning. And that shit's
shot so well.
Yeah, but, so, yeah, Sorcerer's crazy. Again, let's just go kind of chronologically. Oh, you
want to go through the whole thing? Yeah.
Yeah, so... First scene that really catches your attention is this massive I'll say this overall about Sorcerer, some of the best cinematic explosions I have ever seen, because they're real.
Some of the best violence I've seen.
Like, in a movie. It's 100% real. These were not like toned down at all. Like,
these aren't movie explosions. These
are big, scary, real explosions.
Yeah, these aren't like Michael Bay ones that
these aren't controlled on a set where there's like, this is when they explode. Like, you can see the debris coming out of these out of these apartments, and you're just wondering, like, they're in a foreign country, but like, there's no way they can just blow up downtown. So you're like, this has to be somewhat controlled, but like, who, like, it's insane. You're just wondering how the fuck they did it. And you're like, did they actually just plant a bomb in the middle of Jerusalem?
No, but yeah, no, it's. It's so authentic feeling.
Yeah, it's insane. It's honestly scary.
So yeah, we jump from... So I have no idea what this movie is at this point. I'm watching it. Terrorism happens. Then we cut to France.
Yeah.
And then the guy's dealing with like some sort of... fraud or...
financial fraud.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of getting in on his story now because I liked him and his wife's relationship. So they're already super cute. She gives him the watch and everything. So you're like, I'm with this guy. And then we get into his whole what's going on during his day. And then when that guy killed himself and the way he's the camera whipped over and like
he's trying to basically get this guy. He's like, hey, we're in this together, man. Like, your dad's the one with the money who can get us, you know. And he is just, like, bullying this guy. And he keeps trying to, like, go about his day as normal with his wife.
And like, going to a fancy dinner lunch and then and shit.
He's, like, bullying this guy. And he comes to the dinner, shows up, and he's like, my dad's not going to do it, bro. He's like, I don't care. And he keeps – and he's done this twice already where he's like, my dad's not going to do it. He sends him back, like, I don't care. He'll do it because you're his son. He'll do it because of the firm. And then the third time he tries sending him back to his dad, he – literally gets in his car and just blows his brains out. And then the guy's like, well, I'm fucked. And so he literally just runs off to goddamn Veracruz.
Doesn't say goodbye to his wife.
Yeah, literally just takes off. Doesn't even get into his car. Just takes off to the airport, which I think is fucking hilarious.
That's so good.
Yeah.
No. And so then we got to Roy Scheider. And it's like Roy Brooklyn or whatever it was, you know.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Church it was New Jersey.
New Jersey. It was Elizabeth, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Which I've been to.
He robs a church. Like, these are the worst people. We have a terrorist, like that fraud guy. Which the fraud guy, I feel the least, because then that German guy who was supposed to be the other driver is a Nazi, I think.
No, you mean the hitman from the very
beginning? Not the hitman. It was supposed to be a German, but then the hitman kills him.
Oh, right.
That German was a Nazi, I think, because they literally cut in and they show his thing, but they show like a pair of black boots and stuff, and they kept calling him the German, so it's like, obviously he's a Nazi hiding out.
Yeah.
So a Nazi, and then that hitman later, but so yeah, they rob a fucking church, and that whole robbery is awesome. And I love how it's cutting back from the wedding and like this domestic violence, like bride who's like sitting there with a black eye, just showing him, like his shit just feels so unapologetically real all the fucking time. Yeah, I keep saying that, but like that's the only way to explain these movies, because then when they get. So I still have no idea what's going on. He robs it and he goes and finds his
buddy. Yeah, you're wondering, because they're introducing characters. That becomes obvious.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, obviously something's going to connect them all. And you start realizing, oh, they're all criminals on the run.
Yeah.
And then you hit Veracruz.
Is that where it was actually officially?
Veracruz.
Okay.
I'm almost positive that was the name they gave it.
So like... Yeah, and then that place feels so fucking real. And they take so much time just to show you how horrible these living conditions
are. Oh, you know, it's definitely like Nicaragua or like...
Yeah,
it's... Dominican Republic or something like that.
Maybe we shouldn't say that. I don't maybe we shouldn't talk shit about countries. I'll cut back that at part.
it's somewhere in Central America and or...
Yeah, like... You
can just
It could tell. Be in the Amazon or something. Yeah, like, I have no idea, but I had no idea what the movie... And I still don't at this point.
Yeah, you still don't know.
So then you're just... Now you're living in this other country, and they give you a solid, like, 30, 40 minutes in this country of just existing there. And you,
yeah, just and showing you, how the shitty all their jobs are and how fucked they've become. And, like, they make no money. That's another thing. They're all trying to get out. But they're like, yeah, there's only one airport here. And it costs, like, what is it, like 200 pesos to get out?
It was a couple thousand dollars by the end of it, because they had to get a passport, and that was the expense of it.
Yeah, they had to fake their passport. And then the actual cost of getting on the plane, it was $1,400, I'm pretty sure.
So yeah,
it was $400 for the ticket, $1,000 for the passport.
Maybe 12, but yeah.
Something like that.
So, yeah, we're existing, living here, and it's just, and then we show like the oil explosion happens. The massive
oil refinery explosion.
Which is so cool. And then just those fucking god shots were just flying through the fucking rainforest around these cool hills, and you just show it. Just, and the music swells up.
Yeah, it's just bouncing from close-ups to mids to longs, extreme longs, and then back to closes. And it's just showing.
Oh, you're talking about the explosion. I was talking about once it cuts back in the rainforest.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Like that helicopter footage where we were like, what the fuck are we watching? Kong Skull Island? And then it was just like, oh. Like, look at that fucking oil fire. Yeah, no, that explosion kicks ass. And then, like, the people come back to the town and the people are all carrying the bodies and we see the blood.
Yeah, and then it's just, you know, that there's about to be, like, these people are about to get completely fucked up.
Yeah, this riot happens. Like,
yeah, they kill all the soldiers.
So they spend so much time just establishing this sucks, and then there's just these shots. Plane flies over, and the character
still haven't introduced the plot yet.
Yeah, and the plot's not here yet. And then
that's probably like the very beginning,
halfway through the movie, the plot happens, and that's the oil fire or explosion or whatever. And then they decide, like, okay. We need people. Oh no! It's the nitroglycerin scene. It's once they get to that shed, and he flicks off the nitroglycerin. That was literally the moment. Once they opened it up, and I saw dynamite, and then he.
It was the helicopter when they said we can't get
this
through a helicopter. Yeah. That was when I figured it out.
Well, that's when you figured out it was gonna.
That's when I truly figured out, because you already told me the idea is that all four of these guys have to transport shit through. They have to truck it across the jungle. With a bunch of this highly explosive shit, so I knew that was going to happen. But
I told you that. I should have let Jin dry the way I came into it.
No,
I literally had no fucking idea. But I've seen the movie Vertical Limit, and Vertical Limit's a sick movie.
It's a combination of Vertical Limit and Speed.
Yeah, Vertical Limit is literally about nitroglycerin, and they have to get it to the top of K2 to get some people out of an avalanche.
It's like Speed, because they're in a large vehicle, and there's also an explosive element where if they slow down, they die.
Yeah, with Vertical Limit.
And they they come across all these obstacles, and they have to just figure out on the run so they don't die.
So I come into this, don't know. It was the scene he reaches his hand in the bag because they show the dynamite, and I was just watching it, and I kept watching because I was amazed the fact that I was still interested, but how methodical the film was.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just watching it I was dumbfounded. I was like, what the fuck is this movie about? I was like, we're halfway through.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this is either going to be my most hated movie ever, or I'm going to fucking love it. And then he stuck his hand in the thing, came out, and he was like, it's nitroglycerin. And he walked out and flicked it on the rock, and it blew up the rock, and I went, oh, shit. And then cuts to helicopter. He's like, all right, we can't fly it. We're just going to have to drive it. And then it cuts to all four of them.
Hit the driving tryouts.
And then there's driving tryout. And then it was like, all right, I think this might be one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah. Then, of course, there's a scene of – they basically take them to, this car graveyard. And they're like, okay, you just take all the parts you can find. And, you have two trucks. You have to make two trucks work so you can get across the jungle. And they do, and that's a sick scene. Great sequences. You know,
the montage.
If you're
when the lights come on.
If you're like a car guy, or if you're even into machinery, you'd love it. Or if you're just into guys who just like picking old things and making new things with old things. Yeah,
it's so cool. Yeah. How and just how seriously it's taken. Just like, you know, yeah, I love it. I think that's like probably my favorite scene. Like, well, no, the bridge. The bridge is my favorite scene.
Yeah.
All right. So they build the trucks.
They set up.
Hitman kills the Nazi.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the hitman wasn't a very good driver, so he fucking kills the guy who was supposed to drive. The terrorist tries to kill the hitman, fails terribly, and then they still set out. They, you know, obviously the terrorist and the guy from New Jersey are together, or not? Sorry. The assassin and the guy from New Jersey are together, yeah. Like the mobster from New Jersey are together.
Yeah.
And then the French fraud guy and the terrorist are together. And they're both following the same route, and they just come across all these fucking difficult ass things. All
right, so the bridge. That was when the divide starts. So there's this, like, feels like 30 minute long tension sequence when they're driving across this bridge. Connor was literally almost like, he was like gagging because it was just like, it was so much tension for so long. I don't know how the fuck they did it. Like, how that scene keeps me gripping. Then you leave that scene and you get relieved and they make it over the bridge and they're like, yeah, buddy. And then you cut back to the bridge and you have to see the other guys go across it.
No, even before the bridge, they were going across the highlands.
Oh, yeah, like over the.
And there's literally like half their tires. There's just this steep drop.
Yeah.
And just half their tires are hanging off, and it's this just super slippery, like, mudslide sand that they're driving on. You're just like, oh, my God. You're just like, all it takes is them just getting a little careless because
hitting one rock, which we actually see at a point. He goes up to a rock, stops, backs up a little bit, and goes around it, and it's like a boulder. It's like a rock that big. But what that would have, you know, that would have jostled them too much. It's so cool.
Yeah, they're literally, like, sticking their head out.
Well, they took the doors off.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. But yeah, the bridge scene was a scene of the movie.
Yeah, that's the movie. The poster is the Iranian guy, or I don't know.
Just say the terrorist.
The terrorist guy, yeah. That was weird. So that guy, like, sitting on the bridge, like, just screaming and, like, holding on, the truck coming at him. And it's a really cool, it's like a painting of it. Yeah. I'm trying to pick up an original, but they ain't cheap.
Seeing this bridge over a river in a middle of,
like
a,
touching the water,
a rainstorm, and it's just literally like the truck is going like this.
I don't know how they did that. I honestly don't, because at points it's like it should be falling over.
Yeah, no, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, how is this thing not?
I mean, obviously that bridge has like steel wires in it or something. Like those ropes were probably steel cables wrapped in rope.
I thought the first one was bad. The first truck that went through was bad. That one was tame compared to the second one.
Yeah, where the guy falls in the water. I love that cut when he steps through the one plank, and then it cuts under the water, and we see his POV under the water.
Audio sounds out, yeah. And it's just rushing water for like 2 or 3 seconds. And then he gets up, and the truck, he can't see him or hear him because the wind and rain are hitting so loudly. And he's like, where are you? I can't hear you. And he's literally just hanging on.
Like trying to pull himself out.
Trying to pull himself out. And this truck is just coming at him. And you're like, oh my God.
Dude, that movie.
And he's screaming like, stop! Stop! And then they get to the near end. And the rope starts breaking. And the beams that hold the bridge are coming up. And you're just like,
oh no, oh my at a point God. A tree comes down the river and runs into the side of the bridge and pins a guy against the truck.
Oh my God.
Dude, everything goes wrong. I fucking love this movie, dude. It's, the first half, but I love the first half too. I love the fact that I love showing this movie to people.
Mm.
Because,
certain people.
Yeah.
Certain people,
some people
don't
can't handle it. But
some people don't appreciate it.
No, stop it. Some people can't handle it, but like other people, like if you can find someone who's fucking down on this thing, like by the end you were screaming like,
yeah,
like it was, oh dude, that it's the most tense movie I think I've ever seen. We have to fly through this. We're over our time here. So
we're too, yeah.
Yeah. We got like 6 minutes to wrap this up.
Okay.
So
next scene, there's a huge tree blocking the way.
That by far is my favorite sequence.
Soul crushing sequence. The guy starts having like
a meltdown. That's our second act low.
The mobster from New Jersey starts having like a thing. And then the terrorist guys catch up and they're like,
oh, I want to talk to you. Okay, we're going to get to this tree thing because it's really cool. But I need to – you wanted the other team to die. You wanted – so you wanted New Jersey – you wanted Mobster from Roy Scheider.
It wasn't a team thing for me. I just wanted to see people go down, like, because I was just wondering.
I didn't want anybody to die. They made me care about an Iranian terrorist, dude. When he's under the – or I keep saying Iranian. I don't know why I keep picking Iranian.
Let's say the
terrorist. Because I'm thinking of Exorcist and how that starts in Iraq for some reason, and I just mix those together because
– That's still – that would be an Iraqi.
Yeah, okay. I grew up in a closed-minded household, and Iran was Iraq because that's how my dad justified us being at war with them. Okay, anyhow.
Let's just say those people. How about that?
Oh, that's much better.
Yeah.
Okay, so they made me care about this terrorist, though. Like, I didn't want to see him get run over in that scene. I wanted to see them get across the bridge. And you do, too, because when they get across, you go,
oh, yeah, because you want them to succeed.
Yes.
But at a point, you also want to see them fail because you're like, how cool is this explosion going to be?
And like, no, the movie starts with these awesome explosions, which we get like four awesome explosions in the first, you know, hour of the movie. Just to show you, this movie is going to be about the explosions.
Exactly. You know, and then you're just the whole time, you're like.
And then you don't get any explosions.
They all came up with their background, right? And so they all are proven to be bad people.
Yeah.
And they're all just trying to escape their own city situation that they dug themselves into. And it's just funny because I didn't really care for any of the characters.
Really? I like Roy Scheider. I like the French guy. And I like the terrorist third and then the assassin. But even when the assassin was dying and he's like, oh, like, hey, buddy. And he's like, the best whores.
Yeah, two whores. Do
like,
it for me.
Like, that was a sad scene. It had me going a little bit for me.
I wasn't sad. I just.
I was with them on the edge of my seat for so long, dude. I was like, I can't watch these people die, dude. At a point, I needed them to win.
I was also the guy, I wanted everyone in Halloween to die. I wanted everyone in Texas Chainsaw Massacre to die. I was upset when people lived because I'm like, I'm always used to like in the horror movies, like usually everyone dies or like one person survives. And in both those, like one person survives. So they can do sequels.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, Texas Chainsaw wasn't ever planning on a sequel. That was just supposed to be its own thing.
But no, like, in this one I was like, okay, like, obviously some shit's gonna happen. Like, there's no way they're gonna have
survive. Let's talk about their death. Because that's like a super sweet scene. First time he's talking about his wife since he just walked out because he didn't even get a chance to say goodbye. He just had to get the fuck out of there.
Yeah, he's talking to the terrorist guy about his wife because he's asking. I think he asked him about his like watch because he's like holding it, and he's like, "What's that?" And he's like, "Oh no," he asked him where he's from.
Yeah,
he asked him where he'll go. He's like,
"Oh, dude, yeah." Oh my god, the thematic shit in this movie because before they leave, he gives the letter to his wife to the American businessman guy, and the American business guy gives it to Roy Scheider at the end.
The American business guy who can speak three languages, by the way, which I find impressive as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's British, actually. Because he talks
to Bruce. No, they call him the American.
Oh, okay. But yeah, he gives the letter back to Roy Scheider at the end, which we know we'll get to what happens at the end. But yeah, like fucking. Oh, dude. I love this movie.
Okay, well, we still haven't talked about their actual.
Okay, so they are driving and what? A tire went flat and they went off the side of a cliff and blew up. And it's just sudden.
A tire popped, they just go over, and then just massive fucking explosion.
Yeah.
Like, there's literally not even piece, like, there's big chunks of the car, but the car itself, you can't even recognize it. It was insane. And then. So that's how the terrorist and the French guy die.
So then we keep hearing about the rebels the whole movie and how
the country is in turmoil.
Yeah. And so they finally show up at the end and they hold the assassin and Roy Scheider hostage. And you're like, fuck, here we go, bro. And then, the assassin kind of redeems himself a little bit. Saves Roy Scheider.
Yeah, he mercs three of them straight up, and then the fourth guy. What happens to the fourth guy?
Roy Scheider slices his fucking throat with a shovel, dude, and it's just.
Yeah, that was great.
Ah, this movie's so violent. I love it. All right, so time. Yeah, we got to stop. All right, so we got to run out of here. But so that guy dies, and then Roy Scheider goes crazy driving like the last 20 miles or whatever. Yeah,
he runs out of gas the last like 2 miles.
Which I wish it was a little longer. He only had to run 2 miles with that. Like, I get after the 3 day, or, you know, the day or two they've been through with the constant stress that would be.
No sleep.
Yeah, like, I get why he went fucking crazy and he's just carrying the nitroglycerin at the end. But if it was just a little longer, you know, it would be like the opening of There Will Be Blood. This character breaks his fucking leg and he climbs out. He, like, falls down a well and he breaks his legs. And then he climbs out and he drags himself all the way back. And then the rest of the movie, it kind of justifies the rest of his actions. Because you're like, this dude is the hardest core, like, the hardcore motherfucker ever lived. So, like, anything he says, like, yeah, I'm with him because he knows. You know? He is the oil baron of oil barons.
Every movie should start, like, Rotten Green Tomatoes.
Robin dying in a train?
Tragedy at the beginning. Let's get out of the way.
What the fuck? No, so, like, if he had to go a little bit further, I mean, I was already in on him because everything they went through. But, yeah, he runs 2 miles, gets the nitroglycerin there, gets his muddy, he gets back, and there's been like, this lady who cleans the floors at this bar the whole movie.
Yeah, who liked the French guy. And they kind of have, like, a weird relationship.
She's kind of flirting with everybody, and she's nice to everybody. And so at the end of the movie, Roy Scheider, like, gets his money. He's going to go back to America.
Yeah, the American guy gives him the letter and asks him to deliver it.
Oh, yeah, gives him the French guy's letter. And then the mob just catches up with him.
Yeah, he asks the lady to dance. And then the very last scene is the two guys from the beginning of the New Jersey mobster's story. And they come in. And that just kind of like zooms off.
Camera pulls out. And then that sick...
You know they just Tommy 20'd the whole place. Wrote down everyone probably.
Or just killed him. I mean,
yeah, or him. But again,
he didn't make it out of there, and that letter never made it to the guy's wife. Yeah. So that guy's wife, you know, will go the rest of her life
thinking that her husband just abandoned her.
And that he died. Yeah.
Also thinking that he's a criminal because
he died not, you know, caring. And that's, oh my God, the movie's so heartbreaking. And at the same point, it's the point.
Yeah. Well, it's also the point that they're all like pieces of shit.
Yeah.
You shouldn't feel bad for them, but you do. It's the same reason it's like you feel bad for a lot of criminals in movies where it's like they've done horrible things and they're like fighting against the police, but in a way you're just like, yeah, fucking kill all them cops, you know? Nah, but...
Okay, we'll end it on that. We went over our time a little bit. It's supposed to be a short one. Started a little slow, but we got here.
Yeah, somehow.
Yeah, now we'll move on to our next episode. Okay, cool. Next, this is coming out tonight, Wednesday, but not for you guys, so, because the videos come out later. So, next episode will be, we're talking our...
Ten actors.
Yeah, the top 10 actors working right now. We're going to add some actresses in, just because, why not? I don't want to pick just dudes, but, because there is some, you know... Yeah, there's performances out there, and why the fuck just working at actors? Because I'm not going to do an actresses list of top 10 actresses. So,
all
right. it's another whole thing. Let's just mix them in. So, fuck it. All right. That's it. Goodbye.
Coming to you from dreary Portland, Oregon.
What the fuck?
Shut up, lady. Fuck out the audience. Your hosts, Katie Cassidy and Aaron Brancher, have some hot takes on film, cinema, and the movies. That's all the same thing. It's the Ask Backwards Podcast. You idiot, you moron, you stupid bitch.